Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an absolute circus, and you almost have to laugh at it because we know they're better than this, but good God almighty, whether it's bunts, whether it's base running blunders, I mean, can't get hits in the clutch, can't make plays, whether it's Volpe, Torrens using his mask as a prop. I mean, it is bad, and I was thinking about this, like, I would imagine one, and hopefully both teams bust out of this by the time they play in the next Subway Series. But if these two circuses meet up in 2 weeks or so, I don't know if anybody's going to win a game.
That's a good point. Is that next week? Oh, 2 weeks, right. Yeah, 2 weeks, 4th of July. Dude, this is, you're right. You almost have to laugh at it. We ripped them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each team, Mets and Yanks, and they continue to lose. The fact that there's parallels here where both teams, you know, when we did the show on Friday, it's like, oh, Mets and Yankees looking like a Subway Series and all this different stuff. And they haven't won a game since together. It's wild to me. And the Mets continue to have issues with the Braves, as they don't only lose to the Braves, they embarrass themselves. And I don't know how you explain what's going on with the Yankees, where, okay, at least they score a run. But even with that, two solo homers, and those are the only hits. Like, the third hit was bullcrap because that was a ground ball to second that obviously hit the runner's foot, which shouldn't happen. Two solo homers, not to mention the sloppy defense. Like, what is going on?
Hey, don't shortchange those home runs. It ended the streak.
Yeah,
I know. I was thrilled when I saw those balls go over the fence for once. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's, I think you were going here, like, easier to explain away the Mets because of the Braves, and kind of seen that before out there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with the Yankees offense. I don't enjoy watching baseball the last few nights. Go ahead.
Do you think let's focus on the Yankees. Do you think there is legit reason to be concerned? Now, we know that it's not going to be like this. Like, they'll obviously score more runs. They're going to win some ball games. But have you seen enough over this 6-game losing streak? Is there that there's something there that will concern you big picture down the road?
Yes.
Me too.
There is.
And that's a problem. Like, relatively speaking, when we talk about trying to win a World Series, that's why I'd be alarmed with the Yankees. And that would be the fact that if Judge doesn't hit, and I know Boone tried to defend him last night, but come on, dude. He is in a slump. And it's okay. He's allowed to be in a slump. But his slump, striking out 20 times in the last 20, whatever it is, he's been bad. But when he does not hit, the other guys just don't have it.
And that's the problem that jumps out to me here. You know, listen, we've talked about this. Now, we talked about this going into the season. We talked about this when the Yankees were cooking for the most part this entire season. And now we talk about it when Judge is on ice and nobody else is doing anything. I do think that that's a very real thing that is problematic for the Yankees here. Yeah, I said to Sal yesterday, I said the two things that jump out to me, you know, put Aaron Judge to the side for a moment, they still don't have a leadoff hitter, and they still don't have any real protection behind Aaron Judge. So I believe that it's how real, I don't know, but I do believe it is a real thing that plagues the Yankees. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What you've seen with the Mets, what do you believe in terms of the what's an absolute truth? What is just, that's the cycle of baseball. Where are you at with the Mets?
I'm going to say the same thing that I said last year about the Mets. I don't know if you remember this, but I'll refresh your memory here. I would not take them seriously until they beat the Braves head-to-head, took them square on. Now, they had the games that got postponed to push them back the final day of the season, so we all knew that that was looming eventually. And even that setup, A, the Mets did not sweep them and bury the Braves. And B, there was always the cushion where even if you lost that first game, you likely were going to win the second game because the other team was not going to try. So that didn't count. While it was nice to win and clinch a spot there, and they did it in dramatic fashion, it didn't make me feel like they exercised the demons of the Braves. And now they come off their first 3-game losing streak, getting swept by the Rays. Okay, it happens. But in typical fashion, now that sets right up into Atlanta. They're taking on water with the injuries and all that stuff. Fine, go beat the Braves. And they had them dead to rights in that first game, and they let the Braves off the mat, and that sets the bad tone for the series and this huge stretch of games. So I need to, the Mets have a lot to prove in the regular season. That's a big difference than the Yankees. Yankees have nothing to prove in the regular season. The Mets have to prove themselves, and when they continue to get punked and embarrassed by the Braves, who are came in 13 games back. Like, you watch these two teams play. Do you think the Mets look like they're 13 games better than the Braves?
No, no, definitely not. I don't.
Do you think they even look like they're definitively better than the Braves at all?
I don't. Not now.
Me neither. I don't. Like, they've been better throughout the course of the year. I still believe that they're better, but they have to actually show it. And I'm more concerned about what's looming. Like, forget about today with Holmes, although it's not forget about. They got to win this game, and I don't feel like they're going to. Strider's going to be nasty. Braves will be at their best, but whatever. Then you get the Phillies looming, and the Phillies maybe now sensing some blood in the water a little bit, looking to take back the control of that division. So the Mets need to prove themselves here, and I do believe legit reason to have concern that they may fall back to the pack and be a wild card team, you know, in the next week or so.
I say this, and I mean it, although I got to say it a little bit in jest here. Like, I'm actually curious how bad this could get for both of these teams. Like, it's turned into a morbid curiosity. And now, that's that. I get through that because I know that both teams are a lot better than this, and I believe both teams will absolutely be in the playoffs here. But I am very curious, like, how much longer are we going to watch these blunders? Like, if we just parachuted to Earth right now, I would think that Casey Stengel was managing the Mets and Choo-Choo Coleman was the catcher. And I would think that Mattingly's back had already betrayed him. And Alvaro Espinosa was playing shortstop. And Stump Merrill was the manager. It really is a nightly comedy of errors. Like, it's not like they lose 4-3 and it's kind of crisp and all right there. Yeah, you lost a tough game. That's baseball, Susan. By the way, that's the shirt that Sal's wearing. Yeah. That is a great shirt to wear today. I am curious, from almost from an entertainment perspective, how much worse this is going to get.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Dude, it's bad.
I'd like to see the Yankees put together a complete game for a change, catch the ball, throw the ball, run the bases.
Get a bunt down.
Oh, my God. How about that last night? I thought that that was a stupid play. Not that we need to get into breaking down the entire game, but Grisham trying to bunt in front of Judge with first and second made no sense. Like, even, and I don't know if that's a Boone thing or what.
It was definitely Boone because Boone then said postgame he took the bunt off after the first strike.
I don't know what Boone's thinking there. That is asinine. When you know you have Judge on deck.
Yep.
If you bump them to second and third, what do you think's going to happen?
You're going to walk. Well, Ron Washington walks in with there's nobody on anyway.
Correct. So
you're going to put him on?
I thought he should have and might have walked him if it were first and second.
Now, they went
Adam and Judge flat out, but still, like, so think about this. You're going to give up Grisham, and even by taking off, like, you still screwed up the at-bat a little bit. First and second, let him hit. What's the worst that could happen? He doesn't get it done. Judge is coming up. You got Bellinger following him. Like, take your chance with that. You're bunting and get a clear first base and then walk Judge for what? So Bellinger get a sack fly? Like, are we really getting that tight? That would be the alarming thing for me, too. Outside of the Yankees' offense without Judge, it seems like they wilt under pressure, dude.
Well, I don't know if it's wilting under pressure or just really an inability to play a brand of baseball that certain teams can play better and are more comfortable playing when it's a late-game, high-leverage situation. There's a reason why the Yankees stink in extra innings. And listen, Boone even touched on this in the postgame. He said, yeah, listen, we are trying to do things that we're not very good at. I did appreciate his transparency. They're not good at bunts. I mean, even their middle infielders don't get bunts down. So,
but then just do what they're good at. That's,
well, yeah, I promise right now they're not good at anything. Yeah, but right. Yes, what they are good at is generally hitting the ball out of the stadium, putting up a ton of runs. I had a mixed feeling about the Grisham trying to get down the bunt and then taking it off. So, I mean, it's a little weedsy. The bottom line is both teams stink right now.
Yeah, exactly.
They stink.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to see it continue. I mean, morbid curiosity. Again, I want to see.
And I say that with a smile. Like, I am morbidly curious how much worse this thing's going to get.
I can't take another loss. But, like, if you ask me one thing, remember I was saying at the beginning of the year, the one thing I want to see was Soto go nuts. Well, there's one thing I can't stand, and that's losing to the Braves. They can lose 8 in a row. If it's not to the Braves, I'll accept it. The way that they have played against this Braves team under the circumstances where you had them buried.
Yep.
But real quick before we get back to the calls, just on the Grisham bunt thing, why didn't you have an issue with it if you play it through?
Go ahead.
Knowing that.
Walking Judge.
Well, right. And then, so like, you're taking the bat. And if not, right? Like, the worst case would Grisham gets out. It's first and second. You took your shot to drive him in. He didn't get it done.
Yeah, horrible swing. Too.
Okay, now you're in a spot where either Judge hits with first and second, or he's going to walk Judge anyway and get those runners to second and third.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have what you would have accomplished by getting the bunt down anyway.
Yes and no. I mean, so let's say Grisham was first and second. Let's say he gets the bunt down and it's second and third.
Right.
And then you walk Judge.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my chances with the players behind Judge to just put the bat on ball and get a productive out. See, here's the thing. I also think that you've got to reshape the way this team plays. Not overhaul. Not this complete transformation. They don't have the players to do that. But I do believe that, I don't want to say it's an experimental phase because these games matter, but like the last 10 days, we've seen sequence after sequence, starting in Boston, where it's either a blunder on the bases, an inability to get a bunt down, or just things that you know are going to pop up at some point in October. You know it.
Yeah.
Whether it's the World Series, whether it's before that league championship, whether it's before that divisional, whether it's before that wild card, if it comes to it. So I am a believer in putting yourself in certain situations so that when you do get there in October, it's not completely foreign. I get your pushback, by the way, from a baseball perspective. I totally do. But you know what, Sal? Bottom line is this. I don't think it matters what they do right now. Yeah. They are a mess, and so are the Mets.
Yeah, and then even Volpe fielding the ball like we talked about, and to me that was a pressurized thing. He's got a lot of errors, though, this year.
He's got nine leads baseball, and he laid back on that. Like, he just didn't. One of the things that Volpe does very well is attacking ground balls. Like, he goes and gets it. He doesn't let the ball play him. Last night he let the ball play him, and then he couldn't find the handle. And then what he does, he throws it basically into the outfield.
Yeah, the spectacular plays are great, but you got to make the routine plays.
And he usually does, though. Now, this year he's booted some, but historically as a young shortstop, he's made, for my for my scale, enough of those plays. Like, I generally feel great when the ball's hit to him. But the one thing about bait, when everybody's hitting, everybody joins the party. When everybody's scuffling, it usually afflicts the whole team. And both of these teams are wearing it. Question is, when the hell does it end?
Hopefully tonight.
Can't watch this.
Today for the Yankees, tonight for the Mets. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Gio starts us off, calling from New Brunswick. What's up, Gio?
How we doing, fellas?
Good.
Happy to be here, man. Love your show. I love the good cop, mad cop. Listen, this thing with Boone is just like, when are they going to start holding?
Oh, Jesus. Thank Gio. We appreciate the call.
That was about as aggressive as it gets. Hey, I understand where you're coming from, buddy, but tone it down. Trust me, if we could say that, we would have beat you to it. I kind of like the way that sounds.
Of all days, have the first caller with that. Yeah. You and I are like, dude, what can we do? We can't rail on them anymore. We've already done that.
Yes.
Like, you got to find some kind of levity in it. And the first call out of the shit, dropping an F-bomb.
That was ire. I mean, that was legitimate heat right there. All right, come on. You can't say that. Although, well, we got to bounce you.
I don't know, though. Like, is it a lack of accountability from Boone?
Well, you mentioned Boone. Yeah. I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
I didn't love the post-game presser yesterday. Like, not acknowledging the Judge slump. Now, I get it. Judge is otherworldly. So his slumps are still better than he's in a slump. Like, that's not...
There's no question.
Yeah, that's not our opinions. That is a fact. And when you're striking out as much as he is in this slump, and then Boone goes out there and says, well, he hit a couple of balls hard. He walked a couple... Like, that to me doesn't do Boone any favors because it sounds like he's making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would then lead people to think, well, if he's doing that for Judge in this spot where we so obviously know it's a slump, which is okay, then what's he doing for Volpe? Or what's he doing for LeMahieu who can't get a bunt down? And so forth, so on, so forth. So I didn't love that answer from Boone last night about Judge, but I also don't think it's a lack of accountability. I think it's a lack of ability from a lot of his players. I don't like the construction of the roster. I never have.
Dude, I'm going back to this Kansas City series, and the Yankees obviously swept them. This is in succession, guys. Two strikeouts, one, 3-3-3. That was obviously the rough Red Sox series, 0-3-2. No, he is absolutely out of sorts, and that happens. See, I weigh a response from a manager two ways. What's the worst it can do? Like, what's the negative repercussion if somebody's honest, whether it's Boone, Mendy, whomever, or Tom Thibodeau, whatever, or a football coach here? and what's the best case scenario? So we all know, first of all, there's no reason to, and there's no benefit. You're never going to light Aaron Judge up.
Right.
If you're, and I know you're not suggesting that. If you're a little more transparent and say, yeah, he's wearing it right now. He's human. He's not playing well. Like, even if you did that, what is the benefit versus the possible repercussion? I don't really see the benefit.
For me, it would just be that at least you're being honest about what's happening, and then the fans, now he maybe not doesn't care about this, that's fine, but the fans would be like, okay, well, he's acknowledging this, which would make me then believe in other stuff. Let's listen. You want to listen to it again?
Yeah, I watched it. I heard it, but I think, I don't know that everybody did. Let's go for it. Yeah,
Dove, go ahead. Play that from Aaron Boone last night when asked about Aaron Judge slump.
Aaron, I know you said that Judge just missed that one in the eighth, but just what have you seen in his at-bats the last week or so? This is really like his first prolonged slump of the year.
I mean, is it though? What's today? Wednesday? I mean, Monday night, he hit two rockets and had a couple walks. And he goes 0-for, and it's a slump. It's, you know, maybe he's...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed a couple pitches. I mean, it's a hard game. It's, you know, like, I don't know if I really see it that way. Like, you're not, it's not going to get two hits every day and week on week on. Like, it happens. So, he'll continue to make adjustments like he always does, like he's always doing when he's going really well, whether he hits a little rough patch, he'll continue to do that.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying you got to light Judge up, to your point. You have to acknowledge that he is in a slump. That was a very fair question laid out eloquently. And I
very good question.
Okay.
Yep.
So,
and Boone knows that. That's a good question.
Yeah, and I understand where Boone is coming from, being like, come on, like, what are we talking about? Judge here, you know, next week, probably tomorrow, he's going to hit three homers. And nobody's saying that, oh, you worried about Judge. But you have to acknowledge that he is in a funk where he's striking out a billion times.
It's like 15 times in his last 20-something at bat.
And so my thing would be, okay, I don't need to hear him light it up, but acknowledge that.
Yep.
Because if you don't acknowledge what we all know is true in the moment, even though it doesn't mean much because it's judging to come out of it, if you don't acknowledge that, then why would I take you seriously on some of the other stuff like, hey, what about Anthony Volpe's defense? And then it's like, wow, Volpe's great, and don't worry about it. It's one mistake. Like, it can't be like that all the time.
I agree, all right? I think there's maybe... I'm going to tell you how I would have handled it in a moment. But I also think one of the best things about Aaron Boone, and I've said this a while, is that he snuffs out fires. He snuffs out fires when they emerge, and I think he's also very good at preemptively snuffing something out before it starts. Now, in the world of clicks and hot takes and everybody's just, you know, piling on, you know, even if he were to be a little bit more transparent, would it do any good? And listen, I respect the contrary. Or the counter to that. I don't think that it's really necessarily worth it, but here's how I would answer it. All right, so I'm Aaron Boone, Aaron Judge. Hey, listen, yeah, baseball stuff. I like that he said baseball's hard. Gosh, he's hitting almost 370. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then where I would go is I might pivot respectfully, but very clearly, hey, some of the other guys got to pick him up. Aaron was all world the first couple of months of the season. As we know, he's usually done as a Yankee. You know, it's time for some of the other guys to carry some of the mail. That's a way of putting some of the onus on the other guys and acknowledging, hey, Judge is having a rough stretch. There's eight other guys hitting. Wake the hell up.
And by the way, he went to the other guys, but he did get to the proper answer, I thought, toward the end of that. Like, just acknowledging, yeah, he's scuffling or whatever, which is fine. You want to call out some of the others? You could also say, what do you expect? He's going to hit 430?
That's why I think his first response was almost like...
But... But he isn't
apoplectic. Like, he was hitting 390.
I know, but he has. But the strikeouts.
Oh, there's a ton.
Like it's been a rough go.
Man, yes.
Again, it's not a knock. You're not going to knock a guy who's hitting 370.
He's been invisible. He's been awful for 10 days. I don't dispute that.
I cannot take another loss to the Braves. I can't take another loss to the Braves.
Like, let's go, Braves,
dude. I can't take it. I can't take it. Think about this: if the Mets get swept by the Braves. Right, they'd be 10 up on the Braves.
Yes.
Braves still what? 500, whatever it might be.
The Phils are one back now, but, I think. They won again last night.
Right now, one back. But let's just say the Mets get swept and then sweep the Phillies.
Yeah.
In theory, that would be great, yeah. Right? Because the Mets buried the team that's really right there. No.
It's personal.
The Braves punked them. I can't take it anymore.
You guys have been hammered with injuries. Now, I'm not completely sold on all the guys who are nicked up. I mean, you look at it like Vientos, Beatty, Winker's been banged up. I mean, now you've got 3, 4, 5 arms, not to mention Minter, who's been out the entire season. Guys have been hammered with the injuries.
Yeah, I know. Well, and then the rotation, like you said, I mean, and Montas, by the way, getting him back, you're thinking like, oh, yeah, all right, well, at least he'll be a stable arm. He's been getting lit up.
Oh, Montas?
I'll tell you this.
Yikes.
Wonder Boy, Boy Wonder, whatever you want to call him, David Stearns. He's going to come under the crosshairs in a little bit.
You're going to turn on him already?
No, I love David Stearns, but I hated we both didn't like. Like, I don't think there's anybody in New York that understood the Montas signing.
Oy.
And the excuse early on was, all right, well, he's hurt, nothing you could do about that, but he's been bringing in pitchers and making the most of them. Well, if Griffin Canning starts to peter out a little bit, and then Montas can't even get out to the minor leagues, and he can't be used right now, all of a sudden, the lab, the Boy Wonder with the pitching, like, hey, you got to figure this out. The Mets have done a great job. It can't be, well, in April and May and for the first week in June, everything's good, and then it crumbles down when you have a few injuries. Figure it out.
Now, here's the silver lining. And again, there's no hop. By the way, what is the Montas? Is it 2 years? That's the other part. Was it 2 years, 16? Was it $32 million total? I think I remember.
17 per, but he's got the player option next year.
So even more than they've gave Manaea the year before, because I believe Manaea had 2 years at 32. Not that you need to go chasing all these numbers. Either way, Montas, 2 years, $34 million. Right now, it just looks absolutely foolish. But he's done enough good things to get a little separation from a bad move or two. I just don't know how you roll Montas out there.
Right.
I mean, I know you got to make a decision.
They might not.
You're going to have to.
Exactly. The only reason is because they have nobody else. Hoff was just telling me, I guess, according to Mike Puma of the Post, Hageman is going to be the opener tomorrow. That's the other thing. So going into Philadelphia in that ballpark with an opener to start that series for first place in the NL East?
That's a tough way to start a series because you go opener, your bullpen is compromised for the entire series.
We saw this coming with the Senga in. Oh, when the Senga injury happened, was that a week ago today? Thursday?
Last Wednesday.
That day I came in and told you on the air, I have never felt...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As good about being a Mets fan in my life than I do right now. Now, I still stand by that because it's more than just the results of this season. It was everything. Soto, Cohen, where they're at, the way that they were playing. Since then, Alonso makes that bad throw. Senga gets hurt. Luckily, they held on to win that game that they almost blew. And then they've been awful ever since. They haven't won a game and everything's falling apart here. Like, there's got to be some kind of balance. You got to stop the bleeding here.
Well, what do you do? I mean... You know, like I used the term slump buster yesterday. You know, I know what Crash Davis would do. He'd turn the sprinklers on and go out and get himself, you know what I mean? What do you do? You just play ball. You show up. And I know this is going to sound contrived and corny, but I actually mean this. You got to stick to your process, and you got to trust that they're good enough to wake up, because we all know that both teams better than this. But the silver lining, and I do have one for you. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to reiterate, because I said it yesterday as well. I'd rather this now, because this gives Cashman and this gives Stearns a clear roadmap on what you need to fix.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what they need to
There's
fix.
There's going to be some urgency come trade deadline, if not
I hope
before.
So. And I'll be a little tweak here, like a little sixth inning arm or, you know, a little pinch hitter bat. I think both teams need a big move. Both teams, big move.
And I trust that the Yankees will do it. I'm not so sure.
Do you, though?
I do, because, well, I don't know if it's going to be the right one, but they Cashman always, even Jazz last year, like, that was a big move.
Yeah, now, that's true.
I don't love Jazz as a player.
Yeah.
I like his personality and those things.
Yeah.
I think he's similar to what they have, which is guys that are going to strike out in big spots, but also hit home runs. So, like, that's just, it drives me up a wall that the Yankees continue to bring in that same player. But it was a big move at the time. Now, how big is Cashman going to go? Who knows? How big do they need to go? We could discuss that in the coming weeks. I'm still unsure about what the Mets are going to do here. Are they going to go take on more salary? Are they going to make big moves? Does Stearns really want to do that? Is he going to stand pat and say, oh, we'll make minor moves? Like, they may need a bigger move to either shake things up or bring a big bat in here. Maybe they need an arm now all of a sudden.
Well, if the Giants were ahead of this and beat everybody to the punch for Devers, now this might be a bit of a foreshadow that this is going to be a very active trading deadline. And again, little tiny reinforcements that, you know, maybe don't get the shine when they happen, but they actually wind up paying some results down the road. Those are nice. But again, I'm talking a front line for me right now, because I think Manaea is going to be great when he comes back. A front line stick for the Mets and a front line stick for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yankees pitching. Hey, let's not get one thing twisted. While the Yankees can't hit themselves out of a wet paper bank at this point, their pitchers
terrific.
Are... Yeah, but what worries me is that eventually that's probably going to... A little recalibration, and when the pitching takes a slight turn down, you need a more prolific offense, and they don't have it unless they get a big thumping bat.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steve is in New Hyde Park. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, Sal? What's up, BT? How you
Steve-o?
Doing?
Steve-o, what's happening, buddy?
BT, my question is for you, man.
Okay.
To be honest, I've seen enough from Anthony Volpe. I mean, yesterday he boots a routine double play. I mean, this guy was, again, number one, first-round draft pick.
Yep.
I feel like his defense lately has been really shady. My question to you, do you think, should the Yankees consider trading Anthony Volpe? If not this year, maybe next year, because, again, they have George Lombard Jr.
Yep.
in the minors.
Uh-huh.
Or do you think they should just try? Maybe look at his far-fetched trade. Volpe for Bo Bichette.
Listen, forget about specific players. Let me give you my actual general philosophy on Volpe, because I don't think anybody was happier. And, you know, this doesn't really matter to Sal. He said that himself. I love, like, a local story. Like when Mark Jackson was on the Knicks out of St. John's, Del Barton jersey. I just... That stuff means something to me. I love it. So nobody was happier when they drafted Volpe. And also nobody was as quick to say, I mean, this kid's ceiling is not nearly as high as others think. He's never going to be a horrible player, and he's never going to be a great player. All right? So I think what we see now, I think there's probably, I certainly hope and do believe, there's probably 10, 12, 15% more where he can get better. Ideally, you have Lombard at short, and you punt Volpe to second, where he profiles better because of his arm. But I'm also, to be fair to the conversation, if somebody calls me and they want Volpe and somebody else, and it's a massive, you know, platinum trade, I think you do it.
Yeah, I don't think he's untouchable, but here's why I wouldn't consider it. You're trading him at his worst.
At a low period, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the caller was saying maybe down the
road.
General, if things...
And by the way, here we go again. Yeah, George Lombard. Okay. Just like Spencer Jones, right? And by the way, I must admit, I was wrong on Spencer Jones. I was wrong. I called him Spencer Jones Moss in reference to Kevin Moss, who actually did come up at the big league level and produce for an extended period. Spencer Jones, nowhere to be found. I'm not saying Lombard's going to be good or not. I have no idea.
Yeah.
What I will say is let's not now get in the habit of kicking Volpe out for the next guy who you have no idea about. I think the Yankees mishandled Volpe from day one.
Yep.
I think they could have sent him back down that rookie year. I don't have a problem. You want to say, okay, we trust him. Win the job out of spring training. When he's struggling like that, you could have sent him back down. They didn't. And now they're living with a player who is okay. Would you say average? Sometimes below average, sometimes above average for a shortstop, I guess. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be a star, which is why I called him the other day a bust. I don't know why we haven't used that term yet. Now, you, BT, to your credit, you gave up on the high potential for him years ago.
I did not.
I still believe that there was more there. And maybe more importantly than either of us is the Yankees organization believed he was going to be an all-star, big-time shortstop.
Yeah.
He has not been that. It's year three, and I don't see him getting definitively better.
Yeah.
You want to look at some of the numbers incrementally better?
Yeah. You can cherry pick and, you know, you can say, well, his first year he had 20 home runs, 20-plus home runs, 20-plus steals, gold glove. Last year, first real big moment, grand slam of the World Series, and I was there for that. That was a cool moment. But there's been too many fluctuations where it's not correlating to first-round talent. And the expectations of what we all had for Volpe, and I'm sure the Yankees would agree with this off the record, all right, it has not been met. And I think the graver concern is that there's not enough visible evidence that that's going to actually change, all right? So you say you think the Yankees mishandled him, sending him down. I would not say not sending him at that point, right?
Yeah. Either way.
Well, but he played so well in the spring. Remember, that was supposed to be Peraza's job. He hit like 470. He looked like a stud. So I think he earned the job like Jeter did when Fernandez got hurt in 96 here. So they were okay with that. And because he caught, especially his first year, caught the baseball so well, he was reliable for a young kid. So I don't think that they should have sent him down. I don't think that they messed that up. Where they have messed him up, they have not fixed this young man's approach. And I don't understand it for the life of me. How can we, who didn't take a swing in the majors or the minors, how can we sit on our couch and say, slider outside, get him that fastball upstairs, he's going to foul it back. He is so easy to pitch to. How can they not? His front shoulder flails out still. He's still jerking it to the third base dugout. I'm not trying to crush the kid. But these little basic things that have not been fixed by the Yankees, that reflects poorly on the Yankees, even maybe more than Volpe.
Casey is calling from Eastport, New York. What's up, Casey?
Hey, Case.
Hey, fellas. Thanks so much for taking the call.
You got it.
What's up, Case?
I want to talk about Volpe. I feel like a lot of people are going after him, asking for him to be traded, DFA'd. I think it's a little ridiculous. I think he's shown a lot of offensive upside this season, and we know that he's got that gold glove caliber defense in his bag. And I think it's really just like a mental approach thing. I think he needs some time in the cages with a hitting coach to really hone his craft.
You don't think he's doing that, Case? Hold on, bud. I'll let you finish. You don't think that they're doing that? He's got the most advanced, you know, analytical data points. I mean, this is all they do in the majors. Of course they're trying to fix a swing. It's not working.
Well, I get that, but also you look at his offensive profile, and he's got a 105 OPS plus this season.
Okay,
he's on pace to double his home run total. For me, the main concern is his conviction and his deafness on the base pass. He's on pace to steal almost half as many bases as he did last season.
Yeah,
and he's getting caught a lot more.
Yes, he is. That's true.
Dude, yeah, but Casey, you just brought it up. Now, I do think, and thank you for the call. I do think this should not be all about Anthony Volpe.
No, I'm with you on that.
I mean, this is way bigger, way
Bellinger,
bigger. Oh, my God, come on.
Jazz.
This is a whole team thing.
Wells.
Yeah. Hey, look at the lineup. This is a whole team. The construction of the team.
Center field.
All of it. This is not about Anthony Volpe. It's not to pick on Volpe. Even with me calling him a boss, like, that's just bringing reality, at least my reality, to the situation with Volpe relative to the expectations. Doesn't mean he can't be a serviceable player. And it also doesn't mean that it's his fault and he's got to go. You got to trade him. No, come on now. I do worry about his mental aspect of the game.
That's one thing I don't worry about with him.
Well,
I think he's wired the right way.
But then how do you excuse the error last night? That's a funk.
It's not a pass. It's not an excuse. You got to make that play. He laid back. He let the ball play
but
him.
You don't think it's him maybe putting too much pressure on himself or like feeling the heat, whether it's the media or fans or the team struggling?
Yeah.
Like, that's a routine play that a gold glove shortstop makes in his sleep.
You know, I think that that's all. And they asked Boone this. You know, he played some of the Boone cup from last night, the post game. They asked him this a lot last night, and they've asked him this a few times the last few games. And if he doesn't have an answer, I sure as hell don't, because I'm not a major league manager. They've tried to get to the bottom of, like, is the team pressing? Is it mental? Listen, I know we do this for a living, and, you know, we get some things right, we get some things wrong, you like some things we say, you don't, it's all good, it's part of the game, but the one thing that I can't do, and I really almost don't even try, unless it's like Mitchell Robinson at the free throw line, something like something, or Marquette, what's the kid who lost the jump
Marquette
shot?
Marquette Fultz.
Thank you. Fultz from Washington a couple of years ago, where he's got this crooked, banged up jump shot because he's in his own head. How do we really delineate what's mental and what's physical? I don't even try.
Well, okay, but
I don't know.
I'm sure. Understood. I just feel like this team is pressing because they're better than what they've shown. And Volpe, in particular, you could almost see it on his face even after his at-bats. He gets so frustrated. We talk about it with Alonso, similar, where sometimes where Alonso, especially last year, the last 2 years, when he's in that funk, he's got that beaten down look on his face, and it's almost a self-doubt thing. And with Volpe, a younger player who hasn't had the success he was expecting to have, hasn't had the success the fans and the organization were expecting him to have, and then you make an error like that, listen, like, that's not a physical thing. Anthony Volpe should make that play 100 times.
Guaranteed, did it 50,000 times at Del Barton, taking practice grounders.
So it makes me think that there's a little bit of just, you're instead of just reacting, you're thinking. You cannot think as an athlete.
Okay, I certainly think, and you're right, I'm happy you said that's not all about Volpe. I'm like, please, I mean, so many things wrong with this team right now. It's not him entirely. But it's like, you know, you get, I don't want to say the yips, but you get in your own head on the, I'm talking about pros, on the green, you know, your three putt, you just, your stroke's not feeling great, or you lose the strike zone. They're human. They are not impenetrable robots who are immune to outside sources and forces, both, really. So these guys, they do have some brain lapses, and it does get to them. That tightens them up. I think, though, the better example with Volpe was the night before when he rolled over an outside slider that was 7 inches off the plate, because to me, that is a microcosm of wearing it and maybe trying too hard, because it was almost like it was predetermined before he stepped foot in that box, he was jumping on something early. And generally, when you're not hitting well, you try to jump on something early because you have a fear, maybe not major leaguers, but a reluctance of getting in the hole. When you're rolling, you're like, slider, I'm not swinging at that. Give me something I can hit, you know? Whereas if you're a little jumpy and you're, you know, 1 for 19 and you're like, I don't want to get in a hole 1-2, let me just try to jump on something early. That's what I thought he did there. That, to me, was a visible sign of maybe pressing.
I think he's lacking confidence.
There's no doubt about it. He is, and I don't think he's alone right now, both the Yanks and the Mets.
And it's hard to have true confidence when you haven't had the ultimate success. And Volpe in 3 years has been way too up and down to really, like, I bet there's a part of himself that's still doubting. Like,
am I really great enough?
Yeah.
I think that's an outstanding point, because he doesn't have a database like Aaron Judge. Even Bellinger won an MVP.
Yeah.
Like, and
or Alonso, who we brought up before.
No doubt. Or Alonso, or Soto, or Lindor, or anybody that's a good, accomplished New York baseball player, even if they haven't won MVPs, but they've been on an all-star team, they've had big years, they know eventually they're going to get back there. But Volpe's never hit that height yet, so we still chase, and he doesn't have that database of experience. Good point.
Runs aren't guaranteed, but you could have the free tickets. They give away the tickets. Hey, look, Yankees, you expect the bats to break out. It just would be something that the inconsistency of this offense is certainly situational. I don't care what the numbers say. I was fighting with somebody about this yesterday. I don't know if it was Emmanuel Barbari or somebody was bringing it up, referencing their numbers and situational hitting. You just don't see it. They've been horrible in extra innings, to your point.
I think they're hitting 077 in extra innings. I remember hearing that somewhere.
How are they so bad?
I don't know.
A, you're the Yankees. B, you're getting a runner planted at second base. Like, to your point, even last night, first and second, nobody out.
Yep.
How can they not score? Like, as often as those situations present themselves for years with this team, just doesn't work. And do you think it's a coincidence or odd that, like, if you and I talked about this yesterday, saying, hey, if you had a bet how their drought is going to end, their scoring drought, how would you think?
I would have said a couple of home runs.
Yeah, like, of course, and that's what happens. They get two solo homers, and that's it, two hits. Come on.
Well, all right, so listen, the thing that I will say, a slight rebuttal, because I don't love their situational hitting. I don't. But I also think, because it's been an issue for the Yankees for years, that we have a tendency to fixate on the times that they fail and gloss over the times that they perform well. Because, and again, it seems like a hollow stat right now, but even with this offensive malaise, the Yankees do have the most runs in the American League. Now, I know the American League's not amazing, but, you know, you can only deal the cards that you dealt here and play who you got to play. And up until this five-game swoon, the Yankees have been hitting the hell out of the baseball. And when you do that and you put up that amount of runs and have some of the other numbers, which I won't bore you with now, that are favorable, you are doing the job more times than maybe we say or feel they are with situational hitting. But the extra inning is a real thing. That, to me, is a microcosm of a potential bigger issue down the road that is not new for these Yankees.
Jeff is in the Bronx. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? So listen, the problem with the Yankees has been a problem for years. They overhype their prospects. And then when these guys come up, we think we're getting Mickey Mantle and we get Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what we do.
Sorry, Jeff, you got a bad line there, but we got the point. I do think that that's what I talked about on Tuesday, BT, when you were out. Like, it wasn't just meant to focus on Volpe. It was more about the young players not living up to the expectations. And this has been a pattern here going back for years. And I don't know if it's because it's the Yankees, so the hype is more. Like, people go, oh, what about the Mets prospect? Yeah, the Mets never have these top prospects. Alvarez was one, Beatty another, and you've seen how that's panned out. But with the Yankees, it seems like every year there's two or three guys. It's like, oh, this guy's getting there. Here we go again. It was Spencer Jones. Now it's Lombard Jr. Like, they're always hyped, and they might. Clearly, there's an issue with the way that they're developing them because they failed time and time again. Even look at Dominguez this year.
Mm-hmm.
Dominguez comes up. He bursts onto the scene when he makes the majors a year ago, whatever. Two years ago that Dominguez went nuts?
Two years against the Astros.
Right,
yep,
so he came up 2 years ago and goes nuts. Obviously, last year was hurt, whatever it was.
Yep.
Okay, and then it was like, oh, this guy's going to be Mickey Mantle. And now he's, you know, it's not that he doesn't have potential to still be a good player, an impact player, but you're seeing the growing pains. We went through this before with Glaber, with Gary Sanchez, with endless other guys.
You said Glaber, right? Yeah, no, for sure. Clint Frazier. I mean, Clint Frazier was supposed to be like a linchpin in the middle of the order for years. The bat speed. I remember hearing, it's funny, we don't bring up Clint. We reference him, but I feel like we go more into detail on other prospects who don't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Frazier, I remember hearing one other name when they were talking about Clint Frazier, Gary Sheffield, and that was about bat speed. Everybody told us that he's got among the most elite bat speed they've ever seen. So, yeah, that didn't work out.
Red Thunder or Red Lightning or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, all these nicknames, like the Martian.
There are a lot of nicknames, more nicknames than productions. Crazy. All right, but I do
have... The Kraken with Gary Sanchez.
All right, we get the point, buddy. You have to lay it on that thing. We know. I would say one thing, though. So I think there's two things why the Yankees prospects are not nearly as productive as we hope or think that they should be, or the Yankees hype them up to be,
right?
Really. Number one, I don't think they develop them well. That is the fundamental flaw in the Yankees organization that I have said and pointed out for years. It bothers me. I don't know the origin of it. Is it as low as instructional ball? I don't know. So I can't directly point fingers, but I can say with great confidence that the Yankees organization, I'm not talking about pitchers, position players, they just don't develop players well, number one. Number two, and this is not an excuse, but it is some contextualization, because the Yankees are always good, the Yankees never have access to a Witt or Gunnar Henderson or just even Mike Trout was in the 20s, actually. That's not a good example. Same with Judge. But they just don't draft that kid. One, two, three. I mean, Jeter was six, remember, years ago, because the Yankees stunk. You know, 8, 7, 5. They don't really, and those are more, I won't say guarantees, because baseball is the biggest crapshoot out there. They have a tendency to go more for high school kids in the 20s, and that's a massive leap.
That's
or
fair.
College kids who are in the 20s.
That's fair, but they traded, and I don't know where Torres and Frazier were selected, but those were guys that they traded for.
Correct.
That were top prospects. I'm pretty sure Glaber was a very
He was. No, Cubbies, and then Flynn Frazier as well. Yeah.
Right, so my point is that even those guys, and remember, that's what made it so special. The Yankees, a rare losing year in 2016, they go out there, rightfully so, being aggressive at the trade deadline, getting those type of prospects in, rebuilding this thing the right way. 2017 wasn't supposed to be a good year. Judge takes off. They go to ALCS Game 7, and the rest is history. But those guys never developed the way that they were supposed to either.
No.
And from 2017 on to date, the Baby Bombers, this new version of it, none of them outside of Judge have lived up to the hype.
Not even close. And I know we got a break here. But the other thing, too, is, and this is excuses out the window. For years, it was like, well, they don't get a chance to play through mistakes. Remember that? Because the Yankees were so star-laden. You know, maybe you run out there, Ricky Leday, Ruben Rivera.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing names in the past. You know, who knows? It's 100% applicable. But I think it is. And they'd get a shot. They'd have a rough week. Back to the bench. Back to the minors. This goes back to Bobby Meacham with George Steinbrenner back in the 80s. And they never got any runway to let their natural talents shine. They're playing now. To give the Yankees credit, which I will, they are playing them. Dominguez is not against all, against all lefties.
Nobody's
he's
playing.
He's playing all the time. Volpe's running out there. They're running these young kids out there. And, you know, obviously Austin Wells plays all the time. Peraza's gotten a decent look. you know, Cabrera's got a decent look before he got hurt. And they're still not really popping through.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.